Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here. Since we started the show, I get asked all sorts of questions about who to bet on and who to bet with. I don't always know who's going to win, but I do know where to go. The answer is MyBookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wagers, there's something for everyone. With the best player perks in the sportsbook business, they've been good to us and they'll be good to you. They're hooking up our listeners all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code PANTHER25 when creating your account to claim your 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you get an extra $50 a play. That's mybookie.ag, promo code PANTHER25. You play, you win, you get paid. Hey guys, it's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Monday to you guys. And we got some pit news. Actually, some really good pit news. Well, I did see that the baseball team was beating up North Carolina, which was pretty big because North Carolina's 11th ranked. But as far as the... We got some commitments. Basketball. Pitt landed Ryan Murphy. He's a JUCO. Number 46 JUCO in the nation. And he's a shooting specialist. And he specializes in shooting threes. So I guess, you know, I guess Daryl Morey would love him for the Rockets. As we'll get to that. We'll get to all that in a minute. Basically, Penny is a three-point specialist. They got one here. They had one from the Kevin Stallings class, and he went to go play with his dad, if I remember correctly. But we get immediate help, and of course, it's not saying that Trent McGowan's and Xavier can't shoot threes, but any guy who specializes in it, and this guy obviously does. And if we're going by, other standards, who knows? We may have gotten our John Shire, or Christian Laettner, or J.J. Redick. We may have gotten this guy. You never know. I mean, if we're going by the whole ethnicity demographic, the knock on Pitt is they can't land the white guys. And, Pitt's landed their share of white guys over the years. I mean, they landed Aaron Gray and LaVon Kendall. They had the Nasavakis. I mean, LaVon, obviously, he's Canadian. Zavakis is Russian, still, they're Caucasian. Aaron Gray was straight Caucasian. I mean, if we're talking American Caucasian, he was, from, I think, Emanuelus, PA, I believe. And of course, there was Ryan Luther, who just transferred not too long ago and finished up. I think he was finished up with Sean Miller. Yeah, I think Sean Miller's finishing up too. Well, at least that's what I think. I mean, I know it was probably a bad joke, but I'm sure Arizona will still hang with them, ride to them until they die. I mean, you might as well at this point. I think with the whole Adidas thing going on, you might as well just ride these guys until, it's just a little probation. I mean, they may miss a few tournaments, big deal, lose a few wins, so what? But, that's pretty much it. I remember, of course, they did have a commitment from Maverick Rowan, and then his dad got a job with Adidas. Or Nike, or whoever, and moved Maverick down to Florida away from his girlfriend and everything else because, you know, he had a career to work on. But then Maverick went to NC State and, you know, he pretty much was a three-point guy, and that was really about it. I mean, you didn't hear much from Matt for that. But I'm sure he's playing overseas and or D-League or whatever. I'm sure he's making some sort of bank. So hopefully it worked out for him. But as far as, you know, Pippi and Urban Campus, and that could be part of the reason. I mean, from a guy who's worked in those ones, I worked in those ones from 2005 to like 2009, and I can tell you that, you know, that's a pretty nice campus, actually. I would say it's probably still urban. I mean, Point Park is more urban than Pippi. You go into a building, and you know your class, maybe another building, and then you go there, and then you have to walk down the street to another building. I mean, there's no green space. There's really nowhere to hang out. I mean, there was a little courtyard where everyone would smoke cigarettes, and of course mingle with the art institute people and the culinary people, because you know you with Point Park you had all the ballet people, actors, and whoever else. Basically all the artsy people interacting with all the artsy people, telling them about their days and whatnot. Because, you know, that's what pretty much Point Park was more known for, is the arts. You know, acting and whatnot. Although, you know, there's some sports media guys that have Point Park degrees. I mean, Mike DeCourcy has a degree from the Sporting News. I'm sure there's several other ones that I'll probably miss, but I mean, of course, Don Kelly, who, you know, played for the Pirates. I don't know if he played for the Pirates. He might have, I think. He played for the Tigers, I know that much. I don't think under Jim Leland, and now he's a baseball coach. You got him. He's, you know. And that's basically from the baseball heydays, to say the least. I mean, Jesus, I went from talking about, you know, Caucasian basketball players to urban stuff, but I'm just trying to say, like, you know, Point Park to me is just that's what urban is to me. It's just no green space. You go, you pay your $10 for parking during the day, or 12, depending on which lot you get to, and you walk to different buildings, and there's nothing really else to Point Park to that. Other than that, I mean, during the day, I'd pay $10-$12 bucks for parking for my day class. My other option was to park in that $3 lot right outside the, the city. You know, if you're going down Second Avenue towards downtown, there's a big-ass lot. I did that one time, and it was the first week of classes because I couldn't find a space. It was one of the most miserable fucking walks I've ever had in my life. For one thing, it was hot, and then on top of that, I had to walk Lord knows how freaking long just to get to my damn class. So I had to pretty much make some adjustments and adjust my work schedule accordingly. And of course, you know, as some parking lot attendants get to know you and you tip them, they'll find you a freaking spot. I mean, one guy, for the holidays, I think I slid him a 20. I mean, and this is when I was working part-time at, like, Circuit City, where I was getting bro wasn't really making a whole lot. I slimmed a 20 and shit. After that, it didn't matter how fucking full he was. He would find me a damn spot no matter what. I mean, I wouldn't tip him a 20 after that, but I would, you know, I would give him a little something, you know, what, $5? You know. So, and then, of course, they get to know you and shit like that. So, you know, if they like you, they'll help you out. I think one of the most miserable times I ever had was probably, yeah, it was actually 9/11. And that was in my senior year where I woke up, I think, hungover, and I was late this class. And, of course, I turned on the Tony Bruno show, and of course, I'm expecting to hear Tony talk. And, of course, it sounded like something out of a movie, I guess you can say. You know, World Trade Center being bombed, and you're wondering to yourself, it's like, is this a dream? Am I listening to a movie right now? And it wasn't. And of course, me, I kept going in the downtown rather than just turning around because I was trying to process everything. And yeah, that ride home was bad because downtown was just a disaster. And I think for me to just even get home, I couldn't take Second Avenue because it was backed up like hell. I had to pretty much shoot through the Liberty Tunnels, and then I had to drive all the way 51 back to Lincoln Place, because that's where I lived at that point, was in Lincoln Place, which is, you know, at one point it was West Mifflin, but somehow it got annexed into the city, and I think it was part of West Mifflin. They really didn't feel like dealing with Lincoln Place anymore, and they just gave it to the city. I think it's how it became, part of the city. Because if you go to Lincoln Place, you know, I used to brag about living in the city. And people would say, you don't live in the city, you live in the glorified suburbs. Stop bragging about being a city kid. And you know, they're right. I mean, Lincoln Place was more of a freaking suburb than anything else. But anyways, let's get back on topic right now. So pick out their three guy. Pitt football lands a 2019 commit, actually. He committed to Georgia by the name of Paris Brown Jr. He was a three-star running back, committed to Georgia, has a whole nice sheet of offers. Oh, and by the way, Ryan Murphy, the guy we just landed from basketball, has some nice offers, too. He even had an offer from TCU, so, you know he's got to be good. I mean, if we beat Jamie Dixon for a recruit. Although, Lord knows how actively they were recruiting him at all, if anything else. Because at the same time, Jamie landed a guy from UT Arlington. I think he was a grad transfer, if anything else. But Paris Brown Jr. has had a nice stat sheet of offers, and so I was going to say, I think we found our answer running back, but I forget we have some other talented backs on that roster. But I'm happy to land him, more the merrier, because hey, we love running backs, and I'm sure if he sees, what we've done with our running backs, I mean, we had 2 1,000-yard rushers, Quadrillis got drafted, and then of course you got James Conner. He's in the, he almost ran for 1,000 yards for the Steelers. Injuries hurt him a little bit. So you got James Conner, LeSean McCoy's still there, and he's got, over 10,000 yards rushing, and life is good. And, of course, there's Deion Lewis, who just signed a 20-something million dollar deal. What irks me about, getting on the interstate is that I'm sitting here trying to merge, and this dude is, like, going slow in the merge lane. Then, of course, I go around him, and he decides he wants to, get off. If he would just, fucking signal, I would know to go past him, or I would just let him through. I don't know why we have turn signals anymore, because nobody ever fucking uses them anymore. Maybe in Pittsburgh you guys do, or somewhere else, I don't know, wherever you guys are calling from, or listening from, or from another country. I guess they're just, I guess Turnstone are just played out and they're just overrated. You know, just wait till computers start controlling us. It's going to get even worse. That'd be kind of cool, actually. You know, if you have, like, you know, computer-controlled cars or cars controlled by robotic drivers, can you imagine, like a road rage type of scenario with the robots? I mean, it'd be kind of cool if it was, like, some sort of BattleBot type things where, like, you know, they just, like, come out and they hit each other and they come out of their cars. And they just start pulling out their phasers and they start shooting each other. Or, you know, they pull out the chainsaw hand and they start sawing each other. That'd be awesome. But anyways, guys, I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend and you got, you know, your mother some good stuff, good presents. You know, for my mom, given that she has grandkids, for me, I always try to get my kids to make them a card, whether it's my mom or my dad, because when you have grandkids, or, you know, when they have grandkids, and when you have kids, those homemade cards, they go a long freaking way. It's not the monetary thing, it's the fact that your kids made them a nice, beautiful card, and they think it's how cute it is, and they cry, and... Oh, so beautiful. Little Billy made me a card. And, you know, it may, you know, maybe us growing up as kids and, like, teenagers would think that stuff is stupid, but it's great. I mean, because you know what? They don't care about giving you, they don't care if you buy them anything. They just want cards from the kids. I mean, it's such a cheap gift. But then, of course, you have a significant other with kids. You gotta do something. You make the card still, but of course you gotta add something in there as well. Whether it's a trip to the spa or nail salon or Starbucks, or you know you can go to SeatGeek if you use the promo code ACAA. You get $20 off your first purchase. See, there you go. I threw in a live read for SeatGeek in the middle of a Mother's Day thing. I'm going to go to hell. But, hey, life's an event. Go to SeatGeek right now and use the promo code ACAA and you get $20 off your first purchase. That's two beers or a hot dog for the price of one. So, there you go. So, you know, if you got a concert coming up or you want pirate tickets, Pirates are 20 and 17. And for some reason, people in my timeline are bitching about run differential. Because, you know, well, you know, it's great they're 20. I don't care that they're 20 and 17, but that run differential, you know, pisses me off. Be thankful that they're three games over 500 right now, is all I can say. Just be happy. Enjoy it. You know, I understand it's, you know, as a Pirates fan, you know, I don't know if it's really in the cards for a Pirates fan to be miserable. Is it? I mean, if anything, you love baseball, and sure, you get frustrated, but there's some people that are just downright miserable. Hey, you know, whatever. You know, I'm sure if the Pirates win the wild card, they would get offended, too. Well, they won the wild card, but, you know, if they went through more than a team, it would be division champs, which is probably the truth. But you know what? They're the Pirates. This is what they do. Whatever. Just sit back and enjoy it. And yeah, the Pirates should have probably struck when they had the chance, when they had that really good season, but they didn't. I don't understand it either, because, I mean, that's what the Astros did. I mean, their World Series year, they needed pitching, and they went and got Verlander. I mean, they gave up supposedly some good prospects to get him, but they had, you know, but their window was very short because the Red Sox were coming back up, so were the Yankees. Their window was going to slam real shut real quick, and they struck what was gold, and without that move they made for Verlander, they wouldn't have, you know, have won the World Series. And of course, there was Charlie Morton in Game 7 against the Yankees. And Charlie, I mean, he had a freaking, I don't know what it was, but he just had, his confidence went through the roof in that playoffs. And of course, it landed him a nice deal with the Devil Rays. So, the guy gets to live on Easy Street for the rest of his career. I mean, he's in his mid-30s, but he lands a nice big-ass contract. That's because the Astros' pitching is, their philosophy is a little different. But as far as my Mother's Day weekend went, I mean, I'm not a mom, so. But, it's, you know, I was off Friday because we had we had nasty rain on last week in Houston. Of course, we had some flooding like we always do. And it rained so bad Thursday that well, my window sill started leaking. And, of course, you know, the drywall, whatever, was falling off it. I mean, I temporarily sealed it. But after, you know, for now, you know, I have to probably get maintenance come look at it. But it was hilarious because we worked from home that day. And we had no choice because the internet was down at our job. And of course, we outsourced to India. So of course, Lord knows who fixed that. If anything, they probably sent some poor soul from help desk to go look at the switch. So that's what happens when you outsource your server and your network people. The people that suffer the most are your desktop and help desk people because they get more shit out of their fucking duties. And there's that. Alright, so let's go to some other fun stuff. The NBA playoffs happened. And we're now in the semifinals for the Eastern and the East and the West. The Houston Rockets, you know, obviously, Rockets fans got to realize that it just is what it is with this team. They're gonna, during the regular season, they're gonna compete with any team on any given night, and they may win. But they're just not built for the playoffs. I mean, playoffs is big boy basketball, and the Warriors are big boys and the Rockets just aren't. That's just plain and simple. I mean, when you go freaking passive aggressive in game fucking 5, which is what James Harden did for whatever reason, you can't afford to lose those games. I mean, they pissed away games 1 and 5. Game 1 they pissed away because they spent too much time bitching about the refs. Then they, game 2, obviously, they weren't winning for whatever reason. They obviously, they were still butthurt over the freaking, you know, game 1. Game 2, game 3 and 4, they came back home and sucked it up and won those two. And they had all the momentum. And plus, Kevin Durant got hurt. In game 5. Because, you know, game 5, they pissed that one away, too. Game 5, they went passive-aggressive late. James Harden obviously had those shots in the final 8 minutes, which makes no fucking sense. And my guess is, supposedly with the ISO thing that they do, they pretty much were able to key in on him and basically take away his shots. We had to rely on his other teammates, who choked, obviously. And then Game 6, they're without Kevin Durant. And here's the thing. People act like the Warriors were fucking handicapped without Kevin Durant. When the Warriors won a title without Durant, and they went to another finals without him, they blew a 3-1 lead. They would have had a second title if that series wasn't badly officiated the way it was, you know, the swing in LeBron's favor. And that's why they went and recruited Kevin Durant. It wasn't because they were bitching because they lost to him. It's because they know that no matter what, they're going to take LeBron's side. Always take LeBron's side. So why not go get our superstar and shut him up? That's pretty much what they did, you know, in those final two series with the Cavaliers. Well, of course, Kyrie was hurt the one series, you know, towards the end. And then Kyrie was gone. Somehow the Cavs made it because the whole Eastern Conference is horrible. And, you know, they couldn't win a single game. They almost won game 1, But LeBron has some teammates that are not very bright, and they had a brain fart, and that's what happened. So the Warriors are there. Portland, I was surprised, but at the same time not surprised, because Denver obviously is not too experienced, and of course their entire offense runs through Nikola Jokic, and of course they went cold towards the end. I mean, they missed a whole bunch of three pointers. They were up, they had a nice lead. But then they start missing from 3 points. I think they missed like 16 straight 3-pointers. And then they missed 10 free throws. And if they would at least convert half of those free throws, maybe it's a little different. But they got cold at the end, and that's what happened. They just ran out of gas. And, of course, now we get CJ and Dame versus the Warriors. Obviously, with Yusuf out for Portland, that kind of hurts because he was a big anchor. The Blazers, their key is, if you look at a lot of the wins that the Warriors had, they had big games from KD and Steph. So basically, Portland's got to shut those two down in order to have a chance in this series at all. But they're gonna need Dame and CJ to have big games, and because you can't afford to have Dame have a horrible game like it did in Game 7. And still be in it, because your options after Dame and CJ are very little. I mean, there's Evan Turner. I mean, there's Aminu, who hasn't really been himself. And there's Kanter, of course, who's been playing pretty well. But I mean, they're pretty limited. Of course they got the two other guys, Myers Leonard and the other guy. I'm not sure if I forget who. They got them. But, KD's probably out for game one, probably. And once he gets back, he'll be fine. But I was reading, supposedly, that Boogie Cousins may come back. And if he does, yeah, it's going to be even more bad. But he wasn't really fully 100% when he came back from the beginning, from the get-go. So there's maybe some time lapse there. And on the other side of it, the Eastern Conference, we got the Bucks and the Raptors. The Bucks disposed of Kyrie Irving and the Celtics in 5 games. Basically, the Celtics were going to click on all cylinders to win that, and it just wasn't going to happen. And plus, Kyrie, became a moody little bitch towards the end of the series. And, he's out. I'm not sure where he goes. I guess maybe he goes to the Lakers with LeBron. If I'm Kyrie, I would go with the Bucks, because they need help with point guard. Or if I was Kawhi, I would go there, because that team is with Giannis. The team around Giannis. I mean, obviously there's no superstars, but they got a lot of size. They're not really slouches. So I'm curious how this ends up. I know the Bucks pretty much have gotten the best of Toronto during the regular season. But, the Sixers, they had a hell of a series, but, I mean, a lot of things didn't work in their favor. I mean, for one thing, Joel Embiid was sick for most of it. Whether it was throwing up or pooping himself. I mean, they lost some games because of it. Because of him being sick, I mean, they had to lose, drop some games. And then Game 6, obviously, came back, and he was with a vengeance. He came with a vengeance. I mean, people questioned, what he's doing. Game 6, he came in and kicked ass, and Game 7, he just wore out towards the end. But they came back, they tied it. It's just that Kawhi, he put up a hell of a shot. I mean, it was well-defended. That whole sequence was well defended. There's not much else you can do. Kawhi puts up the shot. I mean, it's off balance. It hits the part of the rim and it just bounced in. I mean, that loss is obviously going to sting the Sixers. I don't think they need to fire their coach over him, because people are saying, well, they may, you know, this might be the end of Brett Brown. That, you know, that's, you know, that's not on him. I mean, the Raptors aren't no slouches either. I mean, they went to 7 games. I mean, they almost, if it wasn't for one bad shot that somehow falls in, and if Embiid's healthy, they probably win that series. But, you know, with the Bucks and Raptors, I'm curious how this ends up. I mean, I like the Bucks' chances, but the Raptors just had a tough series. I mean, Philly was a really good team. I mean, and, you know, Philly made moves to go for a championship. And I thought, you know, that's how it was going to go with this, was, you know, the series was going to go through Philly, because they land Jimmy Butler, who's really good, and they got Tobias Harris, who's really good. And, of course, you had Embiid. I mean, Ben Simmons, the guy can't shoot threes. I mean, he's just, you know, I guess you can say he's more of like an old-school point guard. But if you let him distribute the ball and just let him drive in, I mean, it's not too bad. So I'm not sure where they go, you know, where the Sixers go from there, but I don't think they need to break up. I mean, the Rockets, you know, trade for Chris Paul, and they gave up. I mean, shoot, they gave up Pat Beverly and Montrezl Harrell. Oh, man, Montrezl Harrell turned out to be a really good addition to them. And of course, they gave him some draft picks. And the Clippers, despite, you know, getting rid of Tobias Harris, they went to the playoffs, and they have a really good core coming back, and they're going to be really good. But, I mean, I think in the case of the Rockets, I think you still make that Chris Paul trade 10 times out of 10. Because they had the Warriors on the brink last year. It just, Chris Paul got hurt. And nobody knew how to function. This year was a little different. Chris Paul is, you know, not the Chris Paul of last year. And he's more of a shell of his former self. And if anything, he may be breaking down. I don't know, guys. I just don't know. But anyway, some random tidbits. The XFL got a nice TV deal with Fox and ESPN. And I'll tell you what. The XFL pretty much just succeeded where the AF has failed. For one thing, the XFL, they did the smart thing. They put teams in major cities, whereas the AAF didn't do any of that. I mean, for God's sakes, they put a team in Birmingham. And I guess you can say they try to put teams in towns that, like, you know, have like that have more of a college presence, and they wanted to put them there. But it just didn't work out. Whereas the XFL, they're putting teams in major cities, and it helps their TV deal a whole lot, because then, you know, it makes it attractive to, you know, ESPN and of course Fox, because hey, you know, they're putting them in the right TV markets, and it works out. And I think the AF also had to pay for their pay to put on TV. Put on TV, I think, supposedly. At least that's a rumor I heard. I don't know. But we didn't hear much from the AAF. I mean, because it wasn't really advertised. And I thought initially thought it was a good idea, because, you know, it made people, it piqued people's interest all of a sudden. But it backfired, because it was on, you know, because a lot of their games, they had one main game on the US station, which was like CBS. But then they were nowhere else to be found. I mean, you had to go to streaming services to actually watch the games. And half the streaming services you had to freaking pay for. So I'm like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Screw that. But, yeah, there's that. Stanley Cup playoffs has resumed as we got the Hurricanes and Bruins and the Sharks and the Blues. I was reading over some of it. I didn't get a chance to read over the Bruins and Hurricanes, but it looks like the Sharks and Blues could possibly go to 7 games. The Blues lost game 1, 6-3, and I watched the condensed video of that on YouTube in the 20 minute that they like to do. I think what the problem with the Blues in that game was they practically spotted the Sharks 3 goals with some really bad plays, bad passes, and bad decisions, and that's really why San Jose won that game as convincingly as they did. Is the Blues practically spotted them 3 goals, and you just can't do that in the playoffs. They just, I'm sure the Blues will clean it up in game 2, and it'll be a little bit different. But these are our teams, and Joe Thornton is still in the league, and which I found kind of crazy because I was just graduating high school when Joe Thornton got drafted. He was drafted on like June 21st, 1997. I think I was probably having my graduation party at that time. So I'm 39 years old now, and I think Joe Thornton's probably around that age as well. And hey, I mean, I'll hand it to him. He's still playing. If he can still do it, still do it. And I'm sure, the same with Jaromir Jagr. I mean, Jagr played as long as he could. I think Ray Bourque eventually retired, I remember, after he got his cup. But the crazy part about it is Ray Bourque still could have played. even though he retired, he still could have played. He had a lot left in him still. And I guess when you're surrounded by Joe Sakic and a whole bunch of other really good players on that the Avalanche had, he still could have done it. But Joe's chasing his cup still, and hopefully he gets it. Obviously, he doesn't have the Penguins to face, so he doesn't have to worry about that too much. But he has to get past the Blues. And then, I'm not sure who, I'm sure it's probably the Bruins end up going to the finals. I'm sure the NHL would love that, having an original six team in there. Anyways, I'm running out of gas. Well, literally. Enjoy your morning, guys. I'm sure we'll talk later this week. Hold up a bit.